Welcome to tonight's Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I'm Sheila White. With me in the studio is Anthony Maracini, co-owner of Connections Art Gallery in Easton. He's also active in the arts community of Easton, otherwise known as ACE, and some might call him the unofficial godfather of the Easton area visual arts scene. If you want to know what's going on and who to connect with, look for the man in the bandana. Welcome to the studio, Anthony. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me.
I wanted to invite you to the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon show because there's been such incredible activity happening in the visual arts scene over in the Easton area. And you've been a part of this community for about how many years now?
We bought Connections Art Gallery in 2003.
Okay.
So since then, maybe a little bit prior to that, I was involved in Riverside Festival of the Arts.
And before that, you came from out of state or...?
Well, I was raised in Martins Creek, Pennsylvania, which is a small village north of Easton. Went to Easton High School, graduated, went to NCC, then went to Temple, got my bachelor's in fine arts. Lived in Philly for a little bit and then came back.
So Easton has always been home for you, in a sort.
In a sort, yes.
Yes. One of the things that I have been intrigued about with Easton is the character of the community, how unique it is and how many special spaces are around. If someone hasn't been to Easton, how would you describe it?
Easton's a funky little city, for sure. It's very urbane, yet it's a small town still. It's just got that perfect size and fit for that kind of a community. You know everybody if you walk around enough. You'll see the same folks on a regular basis, and yet it's still, like I said, cosmopolitan enough to feel like you don't know everybody.
It's a small enough community, so it's not necessarily 24/7 crazy. Is there ebbs and flows to the day or to the week? Are there times where really good to visit or
weekends for sure? Mm-hmm. We're a busy town on the weekends. Easton has a very active and growing nightlife. I would say that for sure. I don't know how far past 2 o'clock in the morning that would go, but. Easton's a 24/7 city in many ways, but at the same time, like I said, it's still a town. It's not like New York City, that's for sure.
Let's talk a little bit about walking around Easton.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have too big of a footprint. I mean, you've got your main strip and a nice center thing. What do you call that, a square or a circle?
Depends on who you're talking to.
Yeah.
It's called both.
Right. So physically, it's the shape of a circle, but it's referred to as the center square?
Center square.
Yeah.
And the circle is, technically speaking, the circle is the roadway that you drive on, like a roundabout. But yeah, that's the apex of the city, correct? But that's what makes Easton such a great pedestrian community. It has this central apex, as opposed to some communities which they have much more of a linear footprint, where you have to walk down a street, you get to a certain point, like, okay, now I got to turn around. Easton's not like that. You can go a block in any direction, and like, I'm going to scoot down this road and come back to where I was, as opposed to repeating where you just came from.
And when you're scooting around these roads, so to speak, there's also some very interesting alleyways that are not wide enough for vehicle traffic at all. And many of the businesses that are next to it, I think there's a coffee shop that's right next to an alleyway, and there's also, on the other side of the main strip, there's an ice cream shop that's in an alleyway.
Bank Street,
well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Bank Street Alley is it's a pedestrian walkway. It used to be a street.
Oh, really?
Yeah, way back in the day. It is clearly a one-way if you were going to have a car on it, but it was converted to a pedestrian walkway. I don't even recall when the south side of it was done that way. The north side was some time ago as well. But the point there with some of these alleys is how to move pedestrians around the community without them having to cross the circle specifically. Because having a circle is a plus and a minus. The traffic there is fairly intense.
Mm-hmm.
So it is. We are doing our very best to figure out ways to assist pedestrian traffic.
And with that assistance, there's also some aesthetics to these alleyways.
Correct.
And can you talk a little bit about what visitors might see as they're going, walking about the Easton area, the downtown area, and passing by some of these places?
Well, there's a fair amount of public art being concentrated around the Bank Street Alley itself. You'll see they're bike racks, for sure. They're artistic bike racks. They don't always look like bike racks. People are mistaking them as sculpture, just for their own sake, as sculpture, but they also are bike racks. There's a new mural on, was that Bank Street North by Giancarlo DeMarchi? So that was, I think, dedicated last Friday or Friday before. There's smaller murals on the Bank Street Alley closer to Northampton Street that have been there for a very long time. And then there's the Ace mural on the south side of Bank Street. That mural was put there, I think, in, I want to say 1999, but I could be incorrect at that exact date. That was sort of the first larger mural put into the community when the Pomeroy Building, which is now housing Maxim's and had Cheeseburger in it, but that's closed. Mm-hmm. That building was derelict for 30 years prior to it being redeveloped. And so the city at the time decided they wanted to work with artists to spruce up some of these neglected areas, and Bank Street became sort of a focal point.
When you're talking about artists in the city working together in the redevelopment of the downtown Easton area, since Easton has somewhat been a home base for you, and you're a gallery co-owner, and you've been a part of this community, what are some of the primary philosophies or principles of engaging artists in the Easton area? What makes it unique?
Well, I mean, I'm going to give you like an internal point of view. It's hard to be sometimes for the forest for the trees. So I find the way we all work together to be the most unique aspect of Easton's art scene. And that has to do both with the public sector and the private sector. The city administration is very keen on the arts. It has been since Mayor Panto's first foray into politics back in the 80s. I feel like I wouldn't want to speak out of turn. That predates my own experience, but I think he was a primary aspect of that. And then Carl Stirner moving to Easton, they established these relationships, him and Carl, the mayor and Carl, and that's how that sort of solidifies itself as a public-private observation. So somehow that all works together. We somehow work together. We don't always get along. You know, it's just like any community, we can disagree, but we somehow work together to get things done. There's a larger vision that we've all sort of fallen in line with somehow.
And it seems that these long-standing relationships who've been stewarded over time have really been the foundation to a lot of this advanced development, not only in the downtown area, but also in the Silk Mill. Remind me again?
It's technically speaking, it's called the Simone Silk Mill. It's often referred to as Silk now, that's the way it's branded. Mm. That was an old textile mill back in the late 1800s into the early 20th century, and that had turned into a derelict property, 300,000 square feet on a 14-acre parcel. And it was our largest brownfield in Easton. So that's currently being redeveloped by VM Development into mixed-use housing and commercial space with an art-centric vibe to it. That's not to say everything in it's going to be artistic or arts-related, but that's the goal, is to put as much arts into it as possible. And it links up with the Carl Stern Arts Trail, which takes you to the downtown.
Tell our listeners a little bit about Carl Stirner.
Well, so Carl Stirner was an artist, moved here from New York City and bought a building on Ferry Street and turned it into the Carl Stirner Arts Building. And he saw the potential in Easton that was both organic and absent at the time. And he started to invite people into a larger dialogue about what the arts could do for Easton. And that was where Mayor Panto also was involved. They had this thing called the Loft Project they did back in the 80s, and that was to bring artists from New York City to relocate to some of these buildings that were underutilized in Easton's downtown. So that brought some folks there. And at the same time, Carl was keen enough to understand that the local art scene was also very important, and he was doing his best to bridge those two worlds, because it can be difficult to get new folks who are from the outside to realize that there's value in the local art scene. And I think that Easton's art scene, even back then, was cosmopolitan enough to create that bond where they all could say, okay, we can live in the same space. We're all trying to do the same thing. Mm.
So the new development that's been going on Northampton Street, a lot of these old, abandoned, former business buildings are being converted into new residents with some merchandise or commercial property at the bottom. Is that what's happening?
Depending on the building. I think the exception would be the Governor Wolf building. That's just primarily residential. That's on North 2nd Street. It doesn't appeal as a commercial space on the first floor because it's up on a knoll. It would just be away from the street. But the rest of them have commercial space on the first floor. Easton's zoning mandates that. Mm.
Now, is the city administration in such a vision for an art-centric feel of Easton? Again, this is asking for your opinion, not fact. But do you feel that there's a growing sense of an art-centric, which is unique character that kind of blends in? You're not necessarily looking for national chains or anything like that? Or are you just looking to fill the spaces to make sure that there's lots of people that come in?
Probably a little bit of both. I think national chains have always been something that Easton has been reticent to engage in. They don't want to become like an outdoor strip mall, mm-hmm. like the Promenade. Not there's anything wrong with that specifically. I'm just saying it's not what they want. So the community itself doesn't engage in that. Like, so if you wanted to put a chain in the downtown, you could, but it doesn't mean it's going to work because the community itself may not want it. The community prefers homegrown, and that's just the way they are. So that's why you don't see chains downtown. I mean, with the growth that Easton's experiencing, you would think that you would see more chains.
Well, and I think there's also some other relationships that Easton has that adds to that homegrown feel. There's, the Easton Farmers Market, the public market, the relationship with Lafayette College that all has longstanding projects and programs and a calendar, just like the sun rises in the Easton morning. There will be the public market on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And that's been going for how many years now?
Well, so the farmers market is the longest outdoor farmers market in the United States. I forget the exact age of it, 260-something years. And then the public market opened up 2 Aprils ago.
Mm-hmm. And the public market is an extension of the Easton farmers market?
To some degree. It's difficult to say that it's a homogeneous concept. They're mm-hmm. they're slightly different, obviously, but the public market comes out of the farmers market.
The growth of the farmers same market. People.
Well, yes, and the growth of it allows you to understand that there's a market for something like the public market.
Yeah, and we've had a number of independent galleries along Northampton and partnerships with Lafayette that have also helped build its character of the downtown community. How is and Lafayette? They just opened a new gallery space and lower than the hill that they're on away from downtown, yes?
Well, the Grossman Gallery, I think is what you're referring to. That's been there for some time. It's just the new building they opened up was Buck Hall. That's their film and media, or an extension of their film and media studies. It's a Black Box Theater, has two theaters, I do believe.
Mm. Now, and these are within walking distance of downtown?
Oh, sure. Everything's within. I mean, until you get to the hills, everything's within walking distance.
Yes. The hill is another story.
Exactly.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about relationships with the artist community. So I hope that our listeners stay with us over the break. And when we come back, we'll have some more conversation with Anthony Maricini from the Easton Visual Arts Community.
Thank you.
In 2017, WDIY is celebrating 22 years on the air. If you listen to WDIY, support the station by becoming a member today. Members are our most reliable source of support. We couldn't be here without you. To become a member, visit wdiy.org or call 610-694-8100. WDIY, serving the Lehigh Valley and beyond.
And welcome back to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I am your host, Sheila White, and we're having an incredibly lovely conversation with Anthony Maricini, talking a lot about the Easton arts scene, mostly with the visual arts, but we've got so much to talk about in such a little time. But in the previous segment, we were talking a little bit about Carl Stirner, the man, and we mentioned a little bit about Lafayette as well, in some of the relationships that the arts scene has from campus into the community and back. But I think our listeners would be, especially if they have not yet seen the Carl Stirner Trail, they might need to know a little bit more description about it.
Okay.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. The Carl Stirner Arts Trail is a 1.4-mile loop that goes from the downtown and travels along the Bushkill Creek and takes you to the Simone Silk Mill, otherwise known as Silk. Mm-hmm. It's populated with an array of sculptures. We just acquired, I think it was 4 from Steve Tobin that are being placed on the trail. And it's growing as far as its curation and becoming a much more dynamic space to go and observe public art.
And Steve Tobin is a pretty well-known sculptor in the Lehigh Valley area. His studio is down in Bucks County, though, yeah?
Quakertown.
And I believe that WDIY also helped kind of convert a little bit of more woodedness to this trail as well.
It sounds like they added quite a few trees to the trail. Mm-hmm. The trail was an unused space. It used to be a rail bed that took you from the Silk Mill area down to the downtown. It had become overgrown, but also at the same time it had become sort of clear cut in certain places. So the trees were being planted in the lack of a better term, a marshland area that was going to help hold the soil in place.
Mm. So it not only produces oxygen for us to breathe, it also holds the land, because as I understand it, the Bushkill tends to overflow sometimes.
Oh, it'll flood.
It'll flood. What about the sculptures then?
They're all planted on concrete, plinths or pedestals, however you want to call those. Mm-hmm. And they're far enough away from the edge of the creek, but the creek itself does flood. It's known to have flash floods.
But no chance of a Stephen Tobin floating into
Jersey.
No. Down
the Delaware. The ones I've seen are particularly big and heavy, so I can't imagine that.
Yeah, and so visitors to the Carl Sterner Trail, is it lit at night, or is it only available during sunlight hours?
I know people go there at night, too. Just like anywhere, it's good to be safe wherever you go and keep an eye, but it's not discouraged to be on the trail at night. I can't remember if it's lit. I know there's lights at certain portions of it, but I don't think it's lit all the way through. The portion that takes you into the part where the trees were, we were discussing where those are planted, you get a little bit away from the creek, you're closer to the highway, you get the ambient light from the highways as opposed to
If else. Someone were driving to Easton, would they park near the downtown entrance to this place and walk around and come back?
So the entrance portion of it is a little convoluted if you don't know the downtown. You just have to understand where that's at. So if you were going to try and park and walk the trail, you want to park next to what we call the 500 building or the municipal building, where the city stores its stuff, trucks and things like that. So if anybody knows where Safe Harbor is, it's right by that. So that would be where Bushkill Street turns into Bushkill Drive. Mm-hmm. And that's, to the north of the city. It runs along 22.
Is there a website for people to know more about the sculptures?
I don't know the URL off the top of my head, but if you were to Google Carl Sterner Arts Trail, Easton, PA, you would find it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, and
great.
There's a whole programmatic aspect of it. Jim Toya from Lafayette College, he's the curator of the trail.
Okay, speaking of Lafayette, that was a nice little segue.
There we go.
Do you see significant partnerships in the art scene between the campus and what goes on in the downtown area?
Well, they're two different worlds in some regards, but they're also the same. You'd have to know these things. Some things just people just don't know because it's just not the way that information is provided. So, for instance, the Carl Sterner Arts Trail is in the Simone Silk Mill are products that we were able to establish through what we call an RCAP grant with the state from Lafayette College. They leveraged their investments at the base of the hill at the Grossman Gallery.
And that was under President Weiss?
That could have, I think the process predates President Weiss, but I think President Weiss was present when that giant check was given by Governor Rendell. But those sorts of things I don't think people are necessarily aware of, but they do hold a lot of value. Jim Toya, he's been very instrumental in creating these community interactions, especially with high school students from Phillipsburg and Easton. And generally speaking, Lafayette is an open institution in that regard. They wouldn't shun people who want to come into the gallery or to their shows or anything like that.
Well, do you think some of these projects have also been assisted by a longstanding public servant with Bob Freeman, the state representative?
Well, I think Bob Freeman's an amazing politician. It's hard to even call him that because it's kind of a slur. He should be a statesman. He's a huge supporter of the arts, and he's, full disclosure, he's our neighbor at Connections. So I've known Bob since we moved in there, and he does all he can to assist where he can.
I mean, he's a great man, and you have to be that great to have an ale named after you at Two Rivers, of one of the many establishments that he's...
And I know Bob, he'll let you know he has a beer named after him.
Yeah, he's quite proud of that,
yes,
too.
Yes, he is, indeed.
As would I be, hint, hint, anyone.
Oh.
Just teasing.
I'll let Troy know.
So let's talk a little bit more about your gallery.
Very good.
Because it is a center of activity, and I know that you have openings and other types of activities, open mics. If someone were going to come to an opening, whether an opening mic or are they this one and the same? Do you have open mics when you do a gallery opening? Do you keep them separate? Or
They're separate events. So we have a full calendar of events that we do throughout the month. We have standards. So our standards are second Friday open mics, which are second Friday. Then we have our drink and draw sessions where that's a model session with a live model. You come and draw. Those are every third Wednesday, fourth Tuesday. And then our openings, they vary depending on the show, time of the year, but they're always on a Saturday. So we have our upcoming calendar, for instance, is slightly unique because of the holiday. We'll be doing an event called our annual holiday open house in conjunction with the Peace Candle Lighting. Mm-hmm. We have a band, the High Street House Band. So people can come out. That'll be around 8-ish, depending on when the candle is lit and people disperse. And then we have an opening for our annual holiday show on December 2nd from 7 to 10. Mm-hmm. And Chelsea Smar and Mike Lorenz will be performing.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. Last time they played, I was just blown away by Chelsea's harp. And the combination of the two sounds was amazing.
You are also part of the Riverside Arts Fest and the Bacon Fest and a lot of other activities that happen outside your gallery, not just establishing trails and galleries and such. How do these festivals support the venues and the spaces that are longstanding in Easton?
Well, those become sort of that 50,000-foot vibe where you look down and you see how things affect you. So as an art gallery, most people would assume that Bacon Fest is a little concern for us, like we get nothing from it. I don't think that that's true. You can find ways to work with anything if you are creative. So this year, for instance, we did this thing called the Pork Yard. A fair amount of people just don't realize this, but behind Connections, there's a 1,200-square-foot green space. We probably have the largest commercial green space in Easton. So that was our Pork Yard. We had vendors go back there. It was an exclusive access. You could get away from the crowds. We had a restroom that was not a porta-john, and we had discounts on food and beverages for people. So that's how we interacted with Bacon Fest. But back to the 30,000-foot vibe, what it does to the brand that is Easton is what's more important. Mm-hmm. It'll bring people back. It makes people see the city as a vibrant community that they want to be part of. So that's that whole branding of your community, how that brand affects your own brand.
So we were talking about this earlier when we were having a conversation before we went on air, and it was the rising tide lifts all boats.
Yes.
And so being able to be creative with these festivals, not seeing them as a barrier or a conundrum, but an opportunity to get people who probably wouldn't come in for a show at first visit to Easton. They would come for Bacon Fest, but now you want them to come back because it's a cool place.
Sure. And they'll see that town through a whole different light. Almost 100,000 people in your town on the weekend could be difficult. I get that. There's logistical challenges. But at the same time, there's 100,000 people in your city that hasn't been there ever. Mm-hmm. And they get to see the city in a whole new light. And you'd be shocked how that translates into new residents, new sales, new revenue for the community. And, I mean, that's as plain and simple as it gets when it comes to what we do as an art gallery. It's a business, and we have to find ways to continually push that somehow. Mm-hmm. And as a city, as a community, we are a business, and we have to find ways to push that.
And I think that's what makes you such a special person in the Easton community. I mean, I introduced you at the beginning of the show as the unofficial godfather of the art scene.
Carl Stoner would disagree with that, by the way.
Yes, well.
Rest his soul.
Yes, but I think there's something to be said about people who are invested in the community, who are small businessmen, who are creative and innovative, who are willing to step up and work with other sectors to really bring a holistic scene to a community that's unique in and of itself. It takes a lot of different personalities and skill sets, but it also takes patience and understanding and just awareness. And I think that's what you brought to us and our listeners, is just an awareness of how Easton has been transforming itself.
Well, I would always defer to those who came before me too. Without that path, I wouldn't know what I was doing. There's in every community, I think there's a wellspring of other people before you. If you just look to them to guide you, you'll find your way. So I could name a countless number of people that came before me that helped establish that my role in the community. It wasn't just because I said, hey, I'm going to do this.
There's one other transformation that's happened most recently in your gallery. We had to say goodbye to a furried friend who was such a character, Fredo.
Fredo, yes.
When Fredo died, who was a cat, by the way.
He was the cat.
The cat of Easton. Was he a mascot level of the Easton community?
Well, these are the things you find out after the fact.
Yeah.
When he passed, clearly we were all sad at the gallery, and there was, we knew some folks would be touched by it, no doubt, but the community itself, the way they reacted to it, was, I was blown away. I was totally surprised. I didn't realize he had these relationships. Because you take it for granted, you know, it's my cat, that's what you assume, but he's not my cat when he's in a gallery like that. He's everybody's cat. He was beloved by the community. He had a beer named after him. We had an Ode to Fredo show to help raise money for Common Sense for Animals. The beer at Two Rivers was also a fundraiser for Common Sense for Animals. We did cash and food donations. So collectively, we raised about $2,500.
But now you have a new one.
We do. We have a new fellow. His name is Hank. Hank the Tank.
Yeah, so people should stop by Connections and check him out and get to know him.
Yes, he's becoming friendly. Okay. He's younger. When Fredo came to us, he was six, mm-hmm. and he made it to 16 and a half. Hank is probably about a year and a half old. Hank the Tank. He likes to knock stuff over and get around.
If listeners wanted to know more about the gallery, is there a website that we can share with them?
ConnectionsGallery.com. Yeah, Connections is spelled uniquely. It's not with a CT, so people understand it's spelled as the French would spell it, ConnectionsIONS, gallery.com. We also have a Facebook. The page is particularly active. Mm-hmm. So you can always find out about our activities there. There's a calendar on the website, too.
Well, Anthony, it's been great having you in the studio tonight. I look forward to visiting Easton frequently. Thanks, listeners. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm Sheila White.
Thank you.